You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. We are here each and every week talking about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, entertained, you name it. There's always stuff to talk about when it comes to the Habs, and boy, this week is no different. No different at all. My name's Amy Johnson, in case we've not met. I'm your host for the show. This is episode 375 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's show titled Habs Free Fall. Can Marty stop the slide? Yikey shnikes. It's getting a little warm in the dressing room for the Montreal Canadiens. We're going to talk all about it today. But first, let me introduce my wonderful co-host. He's our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Mr. Rick Stevens. Rick, this is a tough week ahead. There's a lot on the line this week.
There is. It was a tough week for the Canadiens this past week. The schedule is about to, and they're in the midst of as we've said before, a home friendly part of their schedule, and now things are about to turn tough. And the American Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. For those of you south of the border, mm-hmm. Early happy Thanksgiving. But for the NHL, it's a milestone point. And the Canadiens fell below that milestone point, that marker, this past week. And so it's going to be important for them to stop this slide, as you referred to in the opening.
I'm glad that you agree that this is a tough week ahead. I'm glad that you agree that there is a lot on the line, because yes, we're going to dissect what's going on with the Montreal Canadiens, but you and I face off
in two leagues this week.
That's the tough week ahead. There is a lot on the line
for you. Yeah.
Au contraire, mon ami. That's the only French we're going to do here in the show.
Now we'll report on it next week, unless there's just so much news to talk about it gets bumped out.
Well, it's at the ladies' choice.
Really?
It'll be ladies' choice as to whether it gets bumped out or not. We'll see. Mm. Good luck. Two leagues. We'll see how you do.
Mm-hmm.
See, folks, you get a little bit of everything here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. But yes. All joking aside, Rick is absolutely right. We are at a crucial point right now in the season, and it could not be a worse outlook coming into this week for the Montreal Canadiens. We've got a lot to dig into today, so here's what you can expect. In the first segment, we're gonna get you through all of the latest Habs news and some analysis of the last week. We're going to recap the games that took place since our last show. And just take a trip down memory lane to remind you of what happened in those games. lots to talk about in terms of roster updates, in terms of injury reports, recalls, all that type of thing, as well as what the lines are looking like on this day, on this Saturday before the Toronto game. We'll have a prospect report where we'll get you up to date on some of the Habs prospects playing outside of the NHL, including the AHL's Laval Rocket and how they're doing. And then in our second segment, that's when we hit our big topic for this week. And our big topic this week is called structure, discipline, and identity. What the Canadians need from their coach. And really, the unfortunate part of what's going on with the Canadians right now is that it's multifaceted. It's not just one problem. It's a multitude of problems. That's the bad news. The good news is that with proper coaching, there are ways to coach around and through and beyond all of those issues. The question now is whether or not Marty has the tools in his toolbox to do that. And we're going to talk about, you know, where places where he could be effective, places where, you know, maybe there's some other things he could think about, and what the best strategy would be to attack all of these different aspects of the Canadiens team as a whole, which are really suffering and lacking right now. Because as Rick said, this is a very important week as the schedule starts to get tougher and the points start to matter just a little bit more. It's still early in the season, but those points starting to matter a little bit more. And then finally, in our third segment, we are going to let you have your say. We've got a great Canadians Connection question of the week for you this week that we want you to answer. We have some terrific responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week that we want to bring to you, see if you agree with them or not. And so there's a lot on tap today. It's going to be a very, very full show. I think it's going to be a mentally stimulating show because there's a lot to think about and there's a lot going on and we just want to see things get turned around, don't we?
Absolutely.
So let's kick things off with what's happened since the last time we were here, starting with all the way back to last Saturday. Remember when it was Boston visiting the Bell Center? Well, even though the score was tight, Boston did come out victorious in this one with a 3-2 victory. And despite the fact that it was Sam Montembeault getting the win, I don't believe that you could say that Sam
Montembeault 3-2 Boston victory.
Getting the loss. Yeah. Yes, so getting a loss, and it was just a continuation of what had been a bad week for Montembeault. It just extended even further.
Yeah, Sam gave up that second goal. he gave up was pretty ugly. But there was other things going on in here, and the Canadians had 2 5-on-3 opportunities for their power play. Their power play, as we know, is struggling. There's that old hockey saying axiom out there that says if you fail on 5-on-3, you're going to lose the game. Well, they had 2 5-on-3 opportunities that they failed on. With respect to special teams, they did get a shorthanded goal from Jake Evans, his mm-hmm. third of the season. And but what a weird start to this one. I guess Struble and Arbor Jacki had a little meeting, had a little sit down, had a little discussion over dinner, and decided that they were going to make an immediate impact, or at least try to make an immediate impact, and agreed that they'd both have stage fights.
Great.
So during the anthem, Struble talked to Zadorov and said, how about we start right off the opening faceoff? And
yeah.
Zadorov said, sure. And Struble lost that rather handily. Few minutes later, within 5 minutes, Arbor Jacki took on Jeannot, another kind of stage fight. He lost that. Not very good for the Canadians, trying to set a tone, and it was the wrong one. Did not work out.
So that took us to Monday. Hockey Monday on Amazon Prime Canada, which featured the Montreal Canadiens visiting the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jakub Dobiš in net for this one. Unfortunately, Columbus fired off that cannon quite a few times in this game. But this one actually went all the way to shootout. So Montreal did eke out a point in this, but at the end of the day, it was yet another loss.
Marty St. Louis, when he looked back at the week, said he was pleased with the way that they played against Columbus, that he thought that maybe it was the game that would turn the corner and get them back on track. If you look at the goal scorers, Lane Hutson, his second, Josh Anderson, his third, Oliver Kapanen, his seventh of the season. Yes, his seventh goal of the season for Oliver Kapanen. Dobiš, third period, made two big saves. There was the moment that Sillinger went right around Matheson, mm-hmm. Dobiš with the big save. But there were still mistakes. You saw Zach Bolduc on the wall, big turnover, and that led to the Werenski goal. On the Fantilli goal, you had Dobson and Carrier behind the goal line. Joshua Waugh lost a battle on the wall. Then there was the power play goal from Columbus, where a real lazy play by Matheson. Carrier didn't tie up his man, tips it in. Penalty kill, gave up a goal. There's a power play goal for Columbus. So there were mistakes throughout mm-hmm. that game, as you said. Still ended up with a point, took it to the shootout. And there were signs, there were good signs throughout this game.
There definitely were. It just unfortunately couldn't get the 2 points and couldn't snap that losing streak. And so that took, now they had then a little bit of extra time since they played on Monday. They had a couple of extra days to get ready for the Washington Capitals to come into the building back on home ice in Montreal on Thursday night. The Canadians calling it, you know, a revenge game, you know, we're going to be ready. And if being ready means dropping an 8-4 decision to the Capitals, well, then I'd really hate to see what being ill-prepared would look like.
If there was an award for the pregame chatter, Canadians win hands down, they were, you know, they were building this game up, given that it was the first, you know, they were referring back to the playoff series with the Capitals in the spring. They talked about, you know, we're going to be ready and the revenge aspect of it. Didn't happen.
Not at all.
1 minute into the game, Alex Ovechkin with a power play goal. 1 minute into the game, you know, it was ugly. And then early in the second period, at the 2 minute mark and the 3 minute mark, a couple of goals by Ethan Frank, who, which is what most Canadians fans were saying. Yeah. You of course know him from
yeah. If you followed Laval in many recent years, you'd be well familiar with Ethan Frank playing with the Hershey Bears. But
Canadians fans were scratching their heads. How does this guy beat Sam Montembeau? And those were ugly goals. So Montembeau pulled early in the second period, allowing 3 goals on 10 shots, 700 save percentage. But the Canadians,
they were toast.
There was mistakes all over the ice. Dobiš played better. Facing 25 shots, allowed 4 goals, 840 save percentage. But it was a beatdown by the Capitals, and of course that included the vicious hit by Tom Wilson in the second period on Jake Evans, and which a goal was, and we'll talk about that more a bit later. But and without any kind of pushback by the Canadians, so this was a beatdown on total, and it scarred the Canadians for sure.
definitely. If you wanted to try to find some positives out of it, Gallagher finally scored his first goal of the season. It was a power play goal. Joe Valeno finally scored his first goal of the season. So they did manage to put four goals up. By the way, it was Charlie Lindgren at the other end of the ice in the other net. So he came
made
up.
Some big saves, especially on Oliver Kapanen, that could have tied it at five. Charlie played really well.
He did. And enough that Washington was able to keep scoring. Ovechkin ended up with a hat trick in this game, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really, really, what you want to say, a forgettable week for the Canadians, but you actually don't want them to forget it. You want these games burned into their minds so that they start learning from their mistakes instead of rinse, wash, and repeat. Because it was so bad that you couldn't even come up with three stars this week. You only could give two out.
It's the truth. Marty said that he's in search of the truth. Well, we're doing exactly the same thing and always have been.
Yeah.
I only got two stars of the week. Cole Caulfield in the three games that the Canadians played, a goal and two assists for 3 points. A second star would be Lane Hutson, identical, one goal, two assists for 3 points.
All right.
Struggling, a long list. It would take too long.
Everybody else. So, we are 20 games into the season. The Canadians, again, thanks to that opening month that they have, it's not looking terrible with a 10-7-3 record. But that's 23 points, fifth in the Atlantic now, 22nd in the NHL now. They've lost five in a row and seven of their last eight.
Yeah, just one win in their last eight games, 1-4-3 record. And that has taken them out of a playoff spot. You mentioned 22nd in the NHL. They were in the top five you look in October how well they were doing, but now out of a playoff spot.
Not good.
Not saying they can't get back there if they go on a bit of a streak. But that's not, I think many fans wouldn't have predicted that, at the end of October.
That was a rapid fall from grace for sure. And it's going to take a lot of work to get things going in the right direction again. In terms of the roster Sunday, because, obviously they were, going to be traveling. There was, we're going to talk about injuries and so forth, but the Canadians were forced to recall 22-year-old forward Joshua Waugh from the Laval Rocket. He joined the team already in Columbus. And Joshua Waugh's done a decent job with the Rocket so far this season. It does seem to be where he flourishes a little bit more in the AHL, his offensive skill in particular.
You have to wonder what Marty or in his discussions with the general manager, what they saw in his first recall, because there wasn't much there that made them want to bring him back. You look at what he's done with the Canadians just played three games, and in those three games, no points, and he's averaging .947 a game and really has been more or less invisible and has given up has lost some battles that have caused turnovers that have gone against the Canadians.
Yeah, definitely. So why was Joshua Waugh recalled? Well, on Sunday, the Canadians... this is the news nobody wanted to hear. We know that Alex Newhook has, a fractured ankle? Is that what Alex Newhook has? Mm-hmm. Well, Kirby Dach has a fractured foot. His right foot, broken, expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. So just add it to the list of misery.
7 points in 15 games this year, 5 goals, 2 assists. Was starting to pick things up and we don't know exactly when he fractured that right foot. But Yeah, out some more time for Kirby Doc. That's really unfortunate.
It really is. The Canadians also recalled defenseman Mark Delgaiso once again from Laval. He was just kind of there to be the extra defenseman on the road trip, and Tuesday morning was loaned back to the Laval Rocket.
The insurance policy when on the road,
yep.
Call Mark Delgaiso. Commercial paid for by.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Rick talked about this a little bit a moment ago. Thursday night, big scare for Habs fans, the coaches, everybody. When Jake Evans left the game against Washington after that big nasty hit from Tom Wilson along the boards towards the corner with just 5 minutes left in the second period, you know, he was stunned after the hit. And was still trying to kind of collect himself and get back to the bench when Jacob Chychrun scored from the top of the opposite circle. And really, you know, wasn't much that Jakub Dobiš could do on that shot, because there was basically nobody between Jacob Chychrun and Jakub Dobiš because nobody was around.
Yeah, if you're thinking that the Canadiens' issues are all about goaltending, watch this highlight. And yes, one of the Canadiens' forwards was taken out of the play, and that being Jake Evans. But you have Mike Matheson and Noah Dobson standing together, essentially, on the opposite side of where Jacob Chychrun was. And he patiently just walked in to the top of the circle and blasted it. There was nobody between him and the net. Jakub Dobiš didn't have a chance. Mm-mm. Evans didn't return for that third period. And that hit, it was by any measure, it was dirty. It was unpenalized. Call it charging, call it elbowing, call it whatever you want to call it. Tom Wilson lined up Evans from a long way away. And it was a hit to the head, with his shoulder and elbow. He kind of tucked in the chicken wing and then extended it right into, Evans. Jake Evans didn't practice on Friday morning. Canadians said it was a therapy day, and they promised a medical update for Saturday. We got that this morning, and Jake Evans will play on good news is Jake Evans will play on Saturday night. Jake himself said he didn't he wasn't experiencing concussion symptoms, which is good news, but given his history of concussions, mm-hmm. They decided to hold him out of the rest of the game and then practice on Friday. Jake added that he had a cut lip. So you decide whether it's a hit to the head or not.
Exactly. Well, my mouth was bleeding, so you tell me if where I got hit. So good news. Phew. A big sigh of relief. Jake Evans will be playing. But he will have a different line mate because on Friday, the Canadiens recalled 21-year-old forward Florin Jacky from the Laval Rocket, his very first NHL call-up. Jacky has had he had a pretty pretty dynamic season last year with the Rocket, particularly the second half of the season. He's having an okay season in Laval this year, but it's taking him a little longer to get things moving. In his 16 games down there this year so far, he's just got 2 goals and 2 assists. But Rick, he's got 44 penalty minutes.
So he does. Yeah, to be fair, it's a slow start to Jacky, but he'll make his NHL debut on.
Yeah. Very fun.
On Saturday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And I think the whole family's going to be there.
From what I hear.
From what I understand. So that's going to be very fun. Also of note.
One member of the family will be in the lineup. The other, you know, Jacky. Go ahead.
Were you working on that all morning?
No.
Okay. Of note this week, there were two pro scouts from the Nashville Predators at the Bell Center this week. And yeah, okay, there's scouts at almost every game. But here's what's interesting. Two pro scouts at the Bell Center this week from Nashville. Both their head pro scout, Stan Drulia, and another one of their pro scouts, Nick Vitucci, a friend of ours. We've chatted with him many times in press boxes around.
We've had meals with him. He's a great guy.
Very great guy. Very good scout. Yeah. Yes, a very good scout. And the two of them were both in the press gallery Thursday night watching the Canadians host the Capitals.
Yeah, so it's not unusual for scouts to be there. There were scouts from eight other NHL teams, for example, on Thursday night in the press gallery at the Bell Center. But two, that's a little unusual, and Stan Drulia being the head pro scout, a little bit unusual. Preds, there are players who are rumored to be available: Steven Stamkos, Ryan O'Reilly, Jonathan Marchessault. You'll recall then when Marchessault was unrestricted free agent in the summer of 2024, that Kent Hughes made a pitch to get him. He declined the Montreal offer and took instead the Nashville offer. I don't know about this one. I think there are much better choices out there, yeah. But maybe something is in the works. We remember that in the last trade with Nashville, it was Justin Barron. So are they looking for a young player again, for an established player? Well, we'll keep on top of that.
Leave things alone. What didn't get left alone, obviously, is that there's with all the injuries that keep racking up, the forward lines keep changing. And probably the most shocking, stunning, surprising, I don't know, you put your adjective in there, change this week has been a noticeably different top line for the Canadians that apparently is still maintaining.
It was two games now that we've seen the new look first line, top line. Kind of goes against what Marty said he was going to do, that he loved the Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky top line, and it, you know, he would have to be, I'm paraphrasing, of course, in the preseason he said he'd have to be desperate. Maybe it'd be injuries, maybe it'd be something else that would cause him to break up that top line. Well, he's broken up that top line, bumping Slavkovsky down to the second line. And big promotion for Zach Bolduc, who's been on that line. That line hasn't looked all that good in either game they played together. They'll have a third opportunity against the Leafs on Saturday night. Bolduc was Slavkovsky has obviously developed a lot of chemistry with Suzuki and Caulfield. Mm-hmm. Actually, I thought he meshed pretty well with his new linemates in Columbus, but everybody looked good. And his new linemates are Kapanen and Demidov. You saw him, I think, carrying the puck a little bit more. But, you know, that line wasn't very good in Washington. Well, who was good in against Washington? Mm-hmm. So, that will be something to keep an eye on Saturday night and see if Slavkovsky continues to be distanced from his regular line mates. You mentioned Florian Jacki being in the lineup on Saturday night. He's going to be with Evans and Anderson, replacing Joshua Waugh. Joshua Waugh will be the extra, as we've said, hasn't done a whole lot. And in fact, it wasn't a surprise to most people when the Canadians on Friday, when the call-up went out to Florian Jacki, the communications staff from the Canadians said, and Joshua Waugh was returned to the Laval Rocket.
Okay, that makes it all right.
Which was fine until, I don't know, it was an hour or so later. They said, oops, sorry, mistake. We, our deepest apologies to Joshua Waugh, his family, his friends, his workmates, his schoolmates, because he will remain with the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes. Yeah,
the press release was hilarious.
Yeah. Our bad. Sorry.
Yeah. But he won't be playing. He'll be up in the press
gallery. He'll be in the press box.
On Saturday night.
That's right.
Defense pairings, they're still the same. So who gets the starting goal?
Jakub Dobish.
Jakub Dobish will start in goal. Marty was asked, oh, does this mean that you're finally going to give Jakub Dobish an extended run here and let him run for a bit and build up his confidence? Marty said, no, we're still aiming for an equal number of starts for our goaltenders.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Funny that we're still aiming for that when at the beginning of the season he wouldn't commit to who was going to start more. Or if it's going to be an even rotation. So pick a day, pick a response. All right, let's take a quick peek with how the Habs prospects are doing.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
You know, Bryce Pickford's starting to be a show favorite, I think, because we're going to talk about him again this week. The 19-year-old Medicine Hat Tigers defenseman who was just drafted this past summer in the third round, 81st overall by the Canadiens, because he keeps just doing tremendous things overall as a prospect, but particularly because he's a defenseman. What do you do this week?
You know, it's funny because I put this together and then he had another amazing performance on Friday night.
All right. But
yes, we try to spread this around a little bit, kind of focusing and highlighting all the Canadians prospects. And it was just a couple of weeks ago that I think we featured Bryce Pickford. If you don't know, Bryce Pickford is a defenseman for the Medicine Hat Tigers. He was selected by the Montreal Canadiens in this past draft, 2025 June draft, in the third round, 81st overall. As an overager, he's 19 years old, 6'1", 185 pounds. He's also the captain of the Medicine Hat Tigers. And early this week, the Saturday and Wednesday game, in those two games, he had 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points for +5. So 5 points in 2 games for a defenseman. And we'll say it again, a defenseman. But not only the 5 points in 2 games, he had 16 shots on goal in All two right. games. And that was... that was 11 shots on goal in Wednesday's game, I believe it was. Yeah, Wednesday.
Against Brandon.
That was Saturday's game against the Brandon Wheat Kings. 11 shots on goal by a defenseman. Nuts.
Well, you know, if you see the net, just shoot at it.
Had five more shots against the Calgary Hitmen on Wednesday. 5 more against the Red Deer Rebels on Friday. He got a goal in that game as well. So make that 3 goals in 3 games, 3 assists, 6 points, 21 shots on goal in 3 games. He's averaging this past week 7 shots on goal for a defenseman. I don't know what his trajectory is, but man, this guy's fun to watch.
Well, just this season, if you want to put it all together, 21 games played this season. He's got 12 goals. Well, no, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry. So in 22 games this season, he now has 13 goals.
25 points.
25 points and is a plus, I don't even know.
Plus 19.
Still a plus 19? Okay. Yep. Phew.
Yeah.
Go Bryce Pickford. In OHL news, not such great things to celebrate. We talked last week about the just disgustingly ugly hit that Brampton Steelheads defenseman Luke Dragusica had put on the Oshawa Generals blue liner Brady Blasig. And we said he had been suspended pending review and pending investigation. Well, on Friday, the OHL finally spent just about a week looking at this and announced that Luke Dragusica has been suspended for the rest of the 2025-26 regular season and playoffs. So he will not play hockey again this year whatsoever. And I think that's at least the best they could have done.
That was minimum. Absolutely minimum. If you've watched the footage, it's horrific. And it could have been much, much worse. So I think it turns out to be 49 regular season games and then whatever playoff games that the Steelheads add to that total for his suspension. Not the longest suspension in the OHL, but a significant one at that. Should say that Luke, he was overlooked. He was eligible for the draft in June, and he was injured most of in his draft year, so wasn't drafted. I don't think he's still eligible in 2020 for the 2026 draft. I don't think anybody will touch him.
No, I don't think so either. For the Laval Rocket, they've played a few games this week. They've been on the road for a little bit last weekend. They finally returned home this week. Just quickly running through these four games. Laval on the road, defeating Hartford 5-2. Philip Meshar had three assists in that game, quietly doing a great job. Kandata with a couple of goals, Belzeal, Owen Beck, Florian Jacki. Pretty dominant win against Hartford. The next day, Sunday, the 16th, Laval shut out the Providence Bruins. Jacob Fowler just making 26 saves with a league-leading third shutout on the season so far, was the first star of the night. So that was a very nice back-to-back set of wins on the road for the Laval Rocket. Then they came home and Wednesday night played their first game of the season against the Syracuse Crunch, always a tough opponent for the Rocket. And although Adam Engstrom and William Trudeau were able to score, and Jacob Fowler again putting up a really good performance with 24 saves, earning him the second star on the night, Syracuse did come out on top, just barely scraping out a 3-2 victory in this one. But Jacob Fowler now, 6-3.
Yeah, I'm going to update those numbers because he's at 6-4, a 2.11 goals against, .921 save percentage, and three shutouts. He's off to an incredible start in his first full year in the AHL.
That's right. And Laval getting back into their winning ways at home on Friday night, Belleville in town. Laval winning it in overtime 4-3. Of note in this one, it was Adam Engstrom with the OT winner, but David Reinbacher scoring his first goal of the season. That's a big weight off of his back to get that off the board, and we'll see where he goes from there.
And if you were watching the game, there was a David Reinbacher scare.
Yes, there was.
Hitting the hand, and he's okay.
He's fine.
He's okay, but a bit of a scare. Of note this past week, first goals of the season for Dunlop and Dineen. Mm-hmm. Who are those guys? Well, they're guys that called up from Trois-Rivières.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the AHL? What's the purpose of the Trois-Rivières Lions? Well, it's to be a farm system of sorts for Laval. And we saw that evidenced this week.
The nice thing I will say, when Laval visited Hartford last Saturday night, it was Hartford's Hockey Fights Cancer Night, and Will Dineen being in the lineup, they had also invited former Hartford player, his dad, Kevin Dineen, And they took part in the ceremonial puck drop together.
Really nice.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the pictures for that, go look those up. Very cool moment for the Dineen family. So Laval, through 17 games played, sits with an 11-6-0 record, 22 points, first overall in the North Division, fifth overall in the AHL. They're doing all right.
Just doing fine.
Doing fine. And they rematch this afternoon with Belleville. And then they will not play again. They have a week off.
Complete week off.
They go on the road to Pennsylvania next weekend. We'll talk about that more next week. And speaking of the Trois Rivières Lions, through 11 games, they have 12 points, a 5-4-0-2 record. They are fourth in the North Division, 18th overall in the ECHL. They're finding their way. Finding their way. Just one NHL note that we want to bring to you before we take our first break here on the show, and that is an Olympics note. The IIHF is going to make neck guards mandatory for every player competing at the Winter Olympics in Milan this year. So any of you players who are going who don't currently wear them, you might want to start getting used to them.
And it should be noted that the new collective bargaining agreement between the NHL and the NHLPA, players that are entering the league in 2026 will be required to wear neck guards. So it's coming to the NHL. The players who played in at least one game prior to the end of this season are exempt from that rule. But certainly can wear them if they want to. We've seen it with Patrick Laine. Mm-hmm. But this is all coming from, you remember, former Brampton Beast player Matt Petgrave. His skate had struck Adam Johnson with the British League, Nottingham.
Yeah.
That was all tragic. And so the IIHF is mandating neck protection for the Olympics.
That's right. And we know the AHL made them mandatory last season. So players who play in the AHL have already gotten accustomed to wearing them, and it will come naturally for them when they graduate to the NHL starting next year, when they'll be mandated to wear them. But it's coming. It's a good idea. And it's going to be a little different for the guys playing in the Olympics who aren't accustomed to wearing them. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We're going to hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. Take a listen to the great incentive they have just for you, our Canadians Connection and Hockey Podcast Network listeners. And when we come back, we are diving into our big topic this week, structure, discipline, and identity, what the Canadians need from their coach. You don't want to miss this conversation. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The NBA season tips off, and so does DraftKings' newest fantasy game. DraftKings Pick 6 is the easiest way to play for big wins, with every possession giving you a shot at real money. Here's how to play. Just pick more or less on two or more stats and unlock the upside every game brings. Pick 6 is available in Texas, California, Missouri, and more. And new DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. Don't just watch basketball, cash in. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, I'm Amy Johnson. If you'd like, you could follow me over on Twitter. My handle there is @FlyersRule. With me, of course, each and every week here in the studio is our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. Do be sure to follow him on Twitter, at Rocket Sports. It's our main account for the podcast, for the company, all of our coverage, all of our correspondence, everything that you need, links to all of our content on all different types of platforms, everything you find right there at Rocket Sports on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our podcast on socials at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And no matter what, just make sure, look down at your podcast player, tap subscribe if you haven't done so already, and be sure you're subscribed on YouTube. That's over at InsideTheCanadians.com. All right, so there's a lot to review and pick apart as to what is going on with, I mean, the Habs have just fallen off a cliff in the last 2 weeks. So before we kind of dig into all of that, Rick, why don't you take us back a month and remind us just how steep and far this free fall has been, why it hurts so badly.
Well, let's go back to Halloween. The Canadians were entering the month of November. They were sitting atop the Atlantic Division standings, had a record of 8-3. They had played 11 games. You had Cole Caufield. You look in on NHL.com and the stats, and they have the leaders, and you had Cole Caufield tied for the league lead in goals. Nick Suzuki was up there atop the leaders in assists. Jakub Dobish, perfect 6-0-0 record, 197 goals against, .930 save percentage. Canadians cruising. And they had, you know, they had a, we talked about it, about their schedule, their easy schedule in October. But the Canadians had done what they wanted to do. They wanted to have a good start, and they want to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. They had feasted on those non-playoff teams in the first month of the season, and they were all set, just poised to bank some additional points in November, because that schedule, the teams got a little tougher, but the Canadians had, of the 10 games that were set to start in November, 8 of those games were being played at the Bell Center. So they're all set to just bank those points and add to their total.
And so, yeah, with that friendly 8 of 10 games, home game, home ice advantage, it looks a little different now that we're 3 weeks into the month, 3 weeks past that point at Halloween. Because as the Canadians are getting ready to play the last of that 10-game block you're talking about, Montreal is just absolutely mired in a 5-game losing streak. They've just won one game in their previous 8. And it just, everything's falling apart wherever you look. And it's like a snowball effect, just compounding. And so you've got desperate fans, desperate media screaming for management to, you know, bring up reinforcements from Laval or bring in reinforcements from outside the organization. But really, there's only one person who can staunch this, who can stop the bleeding, who can figure out how to start to heal the deep wounds before they get any worse. And the big question is going to be, does he have the answers? Does he have the capability to do it? And so we're going to start by talking about how, yes, coaching, Marty St. Louis is under the microscope right now.
Yeah, and I think it's, are we criticizing what's happened? Are we saying that he doesn't have the capability? No, we're asking the questions. Mm-hmm. We're asking the questions that the media should be asking, and I think it's fair. Anybody would agree that Marty has had a pretty easy ride so far in his coaching tenure in Montreal. He had no experience coming into the position. He had a team that was being rebuilt from the bottom up. So there were no expectations whatsoever of him or his performance. And you know, Habs fans, they suffered through seeing their team lose a lot, being at the bottom of the standings, and go through this development phase. But after last year's playoff entry, maybe a surprise, all of that changed. Right now, there's so many issues with the Canadians. They're numerous, but given the way last season ended and this season started, expectations were very high. Mm-hmm. You know, when we did our playoff projections, and you saw projections from both fans and media and hockey analysts, they all said the minimum for the Montreal Canadiens was what they attained last year plus a round, plus two rounds, plus. I was concerned about a few things this year. I gave my points per projection. I was very, very nervous about injuries because they had such a relatively low number of man games lost last year. I was worried about how that would affect and key injuries. And we've seen that there have been key injuries. And when I put out my projection that I wasn't confident the Canadians were going to make the playoffs, I got lots of angry response from that. But let me remind you something that we've mentioned on this podcast a few times before. Yeah. Marty St. Louis has never coached a team with expectations. As I said before, him coming into the role without experience, with a team in a rebuild, there was no expectations. Now there are big expectations, and there's enormous pressure on the head coach to fix all the problems that have come up in the last few weeks. And they're along with that. I mean, it's Montreal. There's no shortage of experts that are willing to give him advice. But
air quote experts.
Yes, yes. Let's get back. That's one of the things we want to talk about in a bit more detail. So let's get back to that later. But it's not us necessarily saying that coaching is under the microscope, what the Canadians need from their coach. I think it's Marty St. Louis that's taking on that role himself. So we're going to start with a couple brief quotes from Marty St. Louis from this past week that kind of set this all in context.
It's part of growing, you know, and I think these moments right now, it gives us an opportunity to grow from this, you know, and that's what we intend to do. But, you know, we're going to have to have some truth to why.
Truth. He's looking for truth. Mm. But that's something that we do here. We've said before, we're not, a fan podcast. We're not the cheerleaders. We're going to use the experience that we have. We're going to use our contacts around the league. We've been doing this a long time and give you the objective truth. And now Marty said that the team's going to have to do that. It's going to have to identify what the issues are, a search for why they're running into the issues they have been for the last 3 weeks, and be brutally honest about you know, the reasons and in order to find the solutions.
And when he was asked, how do you get things back on track?
You coach. That's what you do. You coach. That's what I intend to do.
So, all right. Then it means that we're setting up this segment. Where do we go for answers? Where do we search for the truth? Where do we search for why this is happening? How do we get back on track? It is the coaching. It's Marty St. Louis primarily, the entire coaching staff. What do? You coach. You coach the team out of this particular downturn, this spiral downward that they're in the midst of, this tailspin that they can't get out of. Marty said the answer to that is coaching.
All right. Well, then let's see it put into action. The first thing that needs some definite coaching, special teams, because they are losing their special teams battles each and every night. The power play has gone completely dry. There was a little bit of success early in the season, but it has just vaporized. Nowhere to be found. It's on the side of a milk carton.
Especially we mentioned it earlier. 5-on-3s. You gotta execute on 5-on-3s.
Absolutely. And the PK predictably has been terrible all season. With Joel Armia and Dvorak gone, and now Caden Gooley out with injury, the PK has been absolutely abysmal. And so special teams needs, you know, we chuckled last week when Marty said, well, it would be a lot easier if hockey was just played 5-on-5. Yeah, well, it's not. And you've got to fix the special teams problems toot sweet.
So we go to the coach because the coach wants to take charge, wants to be accountable, and believes that he is the answer for these issues. And what does he say about the power play that's struggling? He says, quote, "I think we're squeezing our sticks too tight and our reads aren't very clear. When you badly want it to work, sometimes you rush. We're not calm, so we're going to look at it." And then he was pressed, you know, the biggest concern with the power play. He said, I don't really think I want to talk about it. We're going to be better. So he's promised results. Seems like he has ideas that he wants to implement. He doesn't want to telegraph those to mm-hmm. the entire NHL. And I think that's been a problem with some of the coaching in the past is, you know, the Canadians can implement a system. Doesn't take long for opposition coaches to break that down and defeat it. And then it's Marty's ability to adjust, to make adjustments, particularly on the fly, seem a little bit tough. So maybe, just maybe, you know, there's no coaching salary cap. The Canadians seem to be operating with where they could get some help. How about bringing in a special teams coach, particularly for the power play? If coaching is the answer, why not broaden the brain power, mm-hmm. so to speak?
I would agree. You know, we were relieved when Burrows was no longer in charge of the power play, but now, and it did improve for a little while without him there, but now it's reached a point where there needs to be, I think, a power play specialist to help shape where it goes from here with the players that are available.
Just as far as numbers go for the special teams, they are 13th in the league on the power play, 23rd in the league on the penalty kill.
Okay. You know, middle of the pack on the power play, could definitely get better, but that PK has absolutely got to improve. Another thing that needs to improve, you know, there seems to be a lack of structure, and goodness gracious, defensive zone coverage is just, it's laughable. Well, Rick, Mike Matheson was asked about the losing streak. He certainly is responsible for some defensive zone coverage.
Yeah, and he was, you know, it was related to the losing streak and about the goaltenders. And Mike said, quote, "We're just giving up way too much. Odd man rushes, breakaways, point blank shots in the slot. No matter how your goalie's feeling, that's not going to help. We got to fix that." He's right. And what he could have said is he's guilty of every one of those mm-hmm. Points, not the only one. And we're not pinning this all on him.
No.
All of them have to be better. And the forwards have to be better in coming back, winning battles, getting the puck out. There seems to be something missing there that they're not able to They're spending too much time in their own zone. And Marty's, you know, at the beginning of the season said, you know, how are you going to fix your defensive zone coverage? And his answer was, we're not going to spend any time in the defensive zone. We're going to get it out quickly. And that hasn't been happening enough lately.
Oh, Marty was asked about this defensive zone coverage. He says, quote, put the puck deep, have less turnovers, defend better, get the puck out when you're near the blue line, take less penalties, block shots, tie up sticks in front of the... Basically, be defensive.
Now, you said it kind of nonchalantly. Marty was angry when he was asked this.
Yeah.
And he spit those answers out like this should be obvious.
And it should be.
and it should be. Yeah, put pucks deep, left turnovers, defend better, get the puck out, take less penalties. He was mad. But somehow that message, which, as you said correctly, is very basic, is not getting through. There's something lost in translation. Players aren't hearing what the coaching staff are preaching.
And that... you know, is where you might need some other portions of the leadership to step up and say, you know, there's got to be a way to get the message through. One of those places where the message has to get through is the lack of discipline. With a PK that is as atrocious as the Canadiens is, they spend an exorbitant amount of time in the penalty box, and they can't be doing that.
Yeah, Marty said in the earlier quote, take less penalties. They're taking way too many penalties. Mm-hmm. Montreal is second in minor penalties taken, only to Boston with 84. They've taken more penalties than they've drawn, which is not
That's
good.
That's never good.
They're bottom six in the league in terms of that penalty differential. Discipline is a coaching issue. Is an issue that coaching can fix. Restrict ice time, can regulate ice time, and that can instill discipline. That should be one that the coaching staff can fix almost immediately.
Should be. Now, in terms of the team's identity and their intimidation factor, you know, this kind of, it almost starts and ends with this hit that Tom Wilson took on Jake Evans. We know Tom Wilson makes hits like this. This is not the first time Tom Wilson has laid a hit on a player like this. But if, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself on this topic a little bit, but if perhaps the intimidation persona of some aspects and members of the Canadiens team was up to par like it should be and like it has been in the past, does Tom Wilson think twice about taking that hit maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, Tom Wilson is Tom Wilson, and would he be intimidated? Probably not.
Probably not.
But the Canadiens don't have to be intimidated. There's kind of a two-way street in terms of intimidation. Mm-hmm. Being intimidating and intimidating the other team and not being intimidated by your opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, you know, the response, there was no response to Tom Wilson and that dirty hit on Jake Evans. There was no response at all on the ice. And then Marty was asked about it, and he said, well, my guys asked Tom Wilson to fight, and he said, no, thanks.
Why would he?
why would he say yes? And in the third period, Tom Wilson didn't get very much ice time anyway, but is that how it goes? And you say, okay, Tom, see you next time, which... you know, when is that going to be in the playoffs? Then Jeff Gordon was on TSN Overdrive, and he said, he was asked about it and about the lack of response. And he said, Tom Wilson is a guy who's figured out what the line is better than others. Man, that's a weak response. And I've you know, I praise Jeff Gorton. I praise Marty for some things, but two weak responses.
Yeah.
There's two aspects here. Number one, is Arbor Jacki the sheriff anymore? You know, is that his identity? Because something's going on with Arbor, and I don't know if that's coaching, if that's the direction he's been given. But he's lost the last four fights and seems reluctant. But is that the only way of solving what happened to Jake Evans?
No.
It wasn't Tom Wilson going after Arbor Jacki or Jaden Struble. He was going after Jake Evans. This screen, you know, I've said a million times that Caden Gooley is the biggest loss of the Canadian season so far, the most important loss. And this screams Caden Gooley all over the place again. Caden Gooley needed for his work on the penalty kill. Caden Gooley needed for his physical play. But Caden Gooley is mean. And Caden Gooley has in the past targeted skilled players with legal hits. Caden Gooley, if he was in that game, who's going to target? Who's he going to hit? Who's he going to demolish? It's not going to be Tom Wilson. He's going to go after Sonny Milano. He's going to go after somebody with a legal hit. There's lots of ways that the Canadians could have responded. You want more evidence? You want more evidence?
Always.
The defense currently, without Caden Gooley, and I said he's the only one that's physical, in that game against Washington, Noah Dobson had two hits. Let me tally up, because you got Jacki, you got Struble, you got Madison, you got Carrier, you got Hudson. Let me tally up the rest of the hits here from the rest of the defense and do this, and you carry the three, and you do. Zero hits, zero in the entire game from Matheson, Struble, Jacki, Carrier, Hudson. Okay, we give Hudson a pass maybe, but Jacki didn't hit anybody all game. Struble didn't hit anybody.
So the entire defense for the entire game against Washington, there were two hits to other players by defensive players, and those were both from Noah Dobson.
Yeah, and listen, you wonder why I get upset when there's all this talk about Mike Matheson, 6 years, 4 years, 3 years, 7 minutes. The Canadians don't need another puck-moving defenseman who's weak in his own end and isn't successful at the penalty kill. The Canadians need another Caden Gooley. The Canadians need to add to the defense. And I understand maybe some people are thinking that David Reinbacher is going to be that guy, but they need another, even if David Reinbacher does make that transition, they need another big, tough defenseman who can skate, who can move the puck, can do all those kinds of things, trade Mike Matheson and get one. And I'm not saying I understand the Logan Mailloux trade and all of that, but if Logan Mailloux was in the lineup or someone like Logan Mailloux with the kind of skills that he has, Logan Mailloux wouldn't have had zero hits beside his name at the end of the Washington game. You can bank on that.
Yeah.
And this is all about the Canadians' identity. I understand that they want to be a high-powered offense, a skating team, a quick team, but they can't be a team that can be easily intimidated by big opponents, and we've seen that over and over and over again.
That leads us to another area that is starting to really have some head-scratching moments, and that is the lineup choices that are being made. We talked about how there's some line shuffling that's going on that's raised a couple of eyebrows, but lineup choices in terms of merit, because what's Marty's line? You have to earn your chair.
Yeah.
Right. You have to earn your chair. That's a Martyism. And you have to have the right players in the right chairs. That's a Martyism. So he has preached about this since day one. The You gotta be in the right chair, and you gotta earn your way into that chair.
And we love it. We support that. And
that's how it should
players be. Players earning their opportunities on merit alone. If you restore that concept to the Montreal Canadiens that wasn't there during the Marc Bergevin era, that would be a very good thing. 100% support Marty on this.
Yeah.
But again, we talk about Marty being under pressure. The entire coaching staff. When we say Marty, it's the entire coaching staff, and they're under pressure. And they've not been under this pressure before when there's expectations. And they want good press too. And what is it that the Montreal reporters want? Well, if you don't acknowledge this, then you haven't been watching for a long time. Montreal reporters, first of all, there's a bit of groupthink. They all sing from the same hymn book. And they want local talent, local mm-hmm. talent, local talent, and local talent trumps merit every single time. So you have to ask, with some of the decisions that Marty's made recently, has he turned against the idea of merit with respect to some of his decisions? Is he wanting, and listen, he's gotten a lot of good press, a lot of folks saying that he's doing the right things. What have the press been asking for? They have been banging the drum for Zach Bolduc on the first line nonstop since the start of the season. Zach Bolduc, 3 goals early on, and then has gone 0-4 for the last 18 or thereabouts. Did Zach Bolduc earn his opportunity on the first line? I don't think anybody can make a case about that. Joshua Waugh, his call-up, give the benefit of the doubt after the first one. But after he did nothing in the first one, did he earn a second call-up? I don't think so.
No.
Sam Montembeau, has he earned his starts?
No.
It's Marty said he wanted to get him going and gave him starts, and you had the Montreal media banging the drum again to give extra starts to Sam Montembeau because he was the key this season. You got to get Sam Montembeau gone. Sam Montembeau's your number one. He needs to, rather than Jakub Dobish was on a roll. Just let him go. Let him go. No, instead you sit him for a week, and then a tough outing against an emotional outing against New Jersey. Not a tough one, where he was upended. His confidence was upended, mm-hmm. And we've seen that since. So please, forget the good press, forget the support of the Montreal media. Go back to the concept of merit. That is an easy one to fix for the coaching staff.
It is. And no matter what any reports say, no one can objectively argue against making decisions based on merit. And I say objectively, and would love to see Marty uphold that. And of course, we can't have this discussion without talking about the glaringly large elephant in the room, which is goaltending. And when I say goaltending, we're talking about Sam Montembeau.
Yeah, let's acknowledge that Jakub Dobish has had a loss in confidence.
Yes,
I think that is, we know when that happened. We know, that his streak was broken and his confidence was undermined.
But that's fixable.
I think that's fixable. Sam Montembeau, there's bigger issues there, and mm-hmm. something is seriously wrong. Sam Montembeau, worst save percentage, next to last in goals saved above expectation, worst 5-on-5 goalie in the league. Second worst wins above replacement. We've been through this all before. Mm-hmm. It's not been a couple of games. He struggled for all of training camp and the first 2 months of the season. He's allowing too many first shot goals, allowing too many goals from distance. Glove hand, beaten way too many times. He's not quick enough post to post to defend wraparounds, so they've got him playing deeper. He's losing his net. His movements are not controlled at all. He's
swimming a lot
and flying past his net, losing his net all the time. It's fundamentals that are at issue. It's mechanics. You remember what Caden Primo looked like about a year ago. Sam Montembeau is borderline unplayable right now. You even have, when we're talking about cheerleaders, you have big cheerleaders like Renaud Lavoie. He was on BPM Sports this week saying Montembeau may need some time off.
That's a big statement coming from Renaud Lavoie.
Absolutely. And so we relate this back to coaching. And Marty St. Louis has said openly, I don't know anything about goaltending. So we haven't talked much about Eric Raymond, and maybe we should. And is he the right guy? Is he providing the same solid advice to his head coach? I think. And if a coaching staff is looking to throw someone under the bus, Eric Raymond, is he getting the results? Not right now. He certainly isn't. And there's someone who we know quite well who has always gotten pretty good results in Laval and has been with the organization for a very, very long time, Marco Marciano.
That's right.
Interesting that Marty said that he's going to continue with equal starts rather than let Dobish take it and run. Is he getting that advice from Eric Raymond? I don't know. But it brings us to, what are the other ways of doing this?
What are the options?
What are the options here?
Well, you've got Kaapo Kähkönen, who is currently serving as kind of the backup role in tandem with Jacob Fowler down in Laval.
And he's been fine in the AHL.
Yeah.
He has 140 NHL games of experience, but that's a little dated. It hasn't been for a couple of years, just one game last year. So really, he hasn't played regularly since the 2023-24 season. He had an awful preseason. Didn't look very good. Would you bring him up and let him be a sacrificial lamb guys are working?
You could.
This? I guess. I suppose. The other thing we should mention, the waiver status. It would certainly, Sam Montembeau would require waivers to go to Laval, unless he went there on a conditioning stint. Jakub Dobish, is it waiver exempt? He could go. I don't think that's the right move.
No.
Could the Montreal Canadiens bring up a goaltender to help out, give Montembeau some time off, as Renaud Lavoie suggested, and carry three goaltenders for a while? They certainly could, although that's easier to do at home, and they've just had a huge home stand where that would have been appropriate, I would think. So those are, I mean, they're in the mix. Those are options. Those are pieces of information you need to know when you're making your suggestions.
Right. The thing that we hear, people are beating the drum about, that's it. Call Jacob Fowler up. Well, okay. Just slow your roll for just a moment. Let's remember. Yeah, Jacob Fowler, we talked in the first segment, has having a tremendous his tremendous start to his rookie season in the AHL, but he has only played 13 regular season AHL games. He also has 8 playoff games under his belt, but, you know, just over 20 games at the AHL level overall. Does have 4 shutouts.
4 shutouts in 21 games. That's pretty impressive.
It is. But, you know.
Yeah. Just
temper. Temper. Don't. I said to Rick off the show earlier this week when the Fowler chance started, I said, no, I'm getting bad deja vu. Let's not go down this road and rush a goaltender trying to put a Band-Aid on a problem. Don't put Jacob Fowler under that kind of pressure to come up and, hey, can you salvage the season for us? For me personally, I don't want to see that happen.
Would he be up for it?
Yes.
Yes.
He would do it in an instant, but of it's the adults in the room who are responsible for making the right decisions in the best interest of the player.
I think, you know, there's folks out there that are comparing this to Caden Primo, and Primo was brought up too early and put in a difficult situation. The mental makeup of those two individuals is at opposite ends. Caden Primo pretty fragile mentally, and I think that's fair to say. Jacob Fowler, he's not. Mm-hmm. And so am I arguing here to call him up? No. Would I be tempted? Yeah, of course I would. Of
well,
course. Of course. But look at that list of things that we've mentioned that are wrong with the Montreal Canadiens before you get to goaltending. If those were fixed, and then you bring up Fowler, well, maybe. And, you know, we got to be honest. We said we want to search for the truth. As Marty said, we want to be honest. We want to be objective. We have to acknowledge that within the Montreal Canadiens history, you have Carey Price. Before he was brought to the NHL, he had 13 regular season AHL games. That's freaky, exactly the same as Jacob Fowler. Now, he had 22 playoff games. He had 3 shutouts. Fowler has 4. Okay, never mind. Stop making that comparison. Stop it. Patrick Waugh played 1 regular season AHL game, 13 playoff games before he full transitioned to the NHL. Ken Dryden, you want to go back that far? 33 regular season AHL games. So yes, there is a bit of a precedent in the Montreal Canadiens. Different eras, different type of goaltending, different
players,
pressures.
Different, yeah.
There's a lot of different, but you know, let's provide the complete picture here.
We are.
It
wouldn't be unreasonable for them to do it. Just the question is whether it's wise.
I'll repeat. Would I do it? No. Would I be tempted? I sure would.
Yes. So I don't know where that leaves us, but I say no. I vote no. I vote no. Right. As they say these days, as the kids say these days, let him cook in the AHL for a while, please. So to kind of tie all of that together and put a nice little bow on it, if you ask Marty St. Louis, overall, the structure of the team is fine.
The structure is fine, but sometimes it's an individual mistake inside the structure that's going to open things up. But I feel like we have layers to kill it later, even if that happens. But to me, it's not necessarily structure. It's just like individual actions that helps the other team.
My structure is fine. Don't ask me about it.
It's those players, boneheads, that
can't get it. They're making mistakes. It's the individual's mistakes that are defeating our structure, not our structure. And not only is the structure good, we've built in redundancy. We have backup that'll take care of it, that'll kill players later. He was absolutely firm on the fact that the structure is fine. The individual mistakes are the cause, and that it's got to stop now.
Mm-hmm. After Thursday's game, that 8-4 loss to Washington, he said, quote, "I'm disappointed because it's like we've gone back in time. We shot ourselves in the foot."
Yeah, it's the individual mistakes. And when he was asked to kind of clarify, he said 13 months, we've taken a step back 13 months. Are you talking about the game in against Washington, the Halloween game a year ago, when afterwards you said the players threw up all over themselves? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. That's what I'm talking about. That is going back that far. That the Canadians and all the progress they made, and in the last calendar year, and the run that they had and the playoff experience, that they've taken a step back. I tried to come up with something to explain it. I don't think I succeeded. I'd said one step back, one giant leap back for Habskind. That doesn't work, does it?
I know it you're a space nerd, some work. But I, yeah. Yes.
No. Okay, I'll work on that.
Okay, you work on that.
Yeah. But the point is, it's a huge leap back a year.
It is.
That gives you a sense of how angry Marty was after Thursday's game.
It's 21st game of the season. American Thanksgiving is coming up this week.
Oh, and we're getting to the tough part. The next month is going to be the toughest part. After we finish that 10-game stretch, eight of which are home games that we talked about against the Leafs, then comes the toughest 16 games of the season over the next month. It's not going to be pretty.
So
if the Canadians and Marty St. Louis don't solve the issues
now
that we've outlined here and that he says he wants to grab hold of and solve.
And what we see happen this week is starting tonight, starting Saturday night against Toronto, and what happens throughout this coming week, the last week in November, is going to be a big litmus test for how, you know, the measuring stick of how that really hard part of the schedule, those 16 games, might look. So cross your fingers, cross your toes, because we don't want another ugly week this week, because if that happens, hold on to your seats, because it's not going to get any prettier. So our question for you this week, our Canadians Connection question of the week, is do you believe that Marty St. Louis and his coaching staff have the tools to get the Canadians back on track? We just laid out for you all of the aspects of the Montreal Canadiens right now that need a coach's guidance, need a coach's touch, need a coach's ingenuity, experience, ideas. And that's not a, you know, judgment as to whether or not Marty has that capability or not. That's what we want to know from you. Do you believe that St. Louis and his entire coaching staff have the tools to do all of those things and get the Canadians back on track? We actually do literally want to hear from you. You can send us a text with your response to that question on our Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. You can drop a comment on Spotify if that is the platform that you listen to the show on. You can also drop a comment on our YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com. Or you could hit us up on the socials at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Any way that you can get an answer to us, get your answers in, because it's an important week ahead. It's an important question. It's an important opinion of yours that we want to know. Do you believe Marty St. Louis and his coaching staff have the tools to get the Canadians back on track? We're going to pick the best responses and read them on the show next week. So send them in. Send them early and often. And right now we are going to take our final break here on Canadians Connection for this week. And on the other side, we're going to bring you some of the best answers that we got from you in regards to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. So you don't want to miss that. You might agree with some things. You might disagree. Got to stick around to find out. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, like Adidas, Levi's, Old Navy, Lenovo, LG, Sephora, Best Buy, Dyson, or Lego, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can choose to get paid via Interac e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to episode 375 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, follow us on the socials at Habs Connection, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Hop on over to our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadians.com, and be sure you subscribe over there. And also, hey, check out our written content over at HockeyHotStove.com. Just click on the Canadians logo at the top of the page and you'll be taken to our written content. Most of the time, that is courtesy of our dear friend and colleague, Chris G, who does a great job with that. And also, while you're at HockeyHotStove.com, jump over to the forum tab and scroll down to the Montreal Canadiens forum, and you will find always friendly debate, conversation, you name it, with tons of very passionate Habs fans talking about every aspect of the Canadiens and the game of hockey. So be sure you jump in to that, and you don't want to miss any of that.
You think the answer is outside the organization? You think there's an answer outside the organization?
Do you have an update for us?
St. Louis Blues have placed Alexandre Texier on unconditional waivers for contract termination. We heard that this was coming. Mm-hmm. Pierre LeBrun says that 9 teams have shown interest in the soon-to-be free agent, but it's down to 2 Eastern Conference teams. Agent Dan Milstein and Alexandra are deciding on. So we may know the answer to that very, very soon.
All right. Well, that's
something else for you to think about.
That's interesting. All right. So we don't want you to forget, in the interim, get your answers in for this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Do you believe Marty St. Louis and his coaching staff have the tools to get the Canadians back on track? Last week, we asked you if you thought that the Habs' identity is solid enough to withstand this stretch of adversity that they were going through, or had the recent adversity exposed weaknesses? And before we head over to, we had some great comments on YouTube this week, but before we get there, you had a comment that came in on Twitter, I believe.
Yeah, on X. There was a post about Marty St. Louis that was out from Chris G and talking about the Canadians' response to Tom Wilson and his hit on Evans. We talked about it earlier. Marty gone on to say, the guys approached Wilson. He didn't want it. Our game was still within reach. So there's context. And the reply to myself and to Chris, it's a reply to at Rocket Sports, from Spetros_ says, Marty St. Louis makes this team so soft on top of his garbage coaching. So he's made his view very clear on that.
All right. Well, scooting on over to YouTube again, these answers were all in response to our question of the week. Do you think the Habs' identity is solid enough to withstand the stretch of adversity, or has the recent adversity exposed weaknesses? Rick, you have an answer.
Yeah, this comes from P. Moran Fidelt, a regular commenter. Mm-hmm. And he or she says, the team can overtake the adversity if they can clean up special teams, both penalty kill and power play, and if Marty St. Louis can mix up the play. He needs to shake up the lines as well as in goal. We need to get other teams second-guessing on the line matchups so Demidov and Caulfield are not being targeted as much. Dobish needs to be able to play and shake off the losses he's had recently. I know this team is young, but that will be the strength and weakness of the team. They can get in their own headspace if they keep losing. We'll start to second-guess themselves. But you can let them do that. Play to their strengths. Let them outskate, outshoot their opponents. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That from P. Moran Fidelt.
Very good response again. At Cranky Bastard 2197 says, hell yeah, they are babies. They will learn from this for sure. 95% of the NHL teams would kill for their goaltending tandem. Half the teams would kill to have their problems. Go Habs, go. I want to see Florian playing with the big team, especially for the next Boston game.
How about the Toronto Maple Leaf
teams? How about that?
How about that game?
Frank Huber, short and sweet this week. He just says, Fowler.
Fowler's the answer, apparently, for some of the fans.
That's right. And at Habanations is back, says, oh, hello, long time no see. That answer would be a no. I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought they were past the rebuild stage. I had thoughts of playoffs and cups. If you look at the team like a cake, there's icing and a plate, but everything else is missing. No fruit, no layers, just icing and the plate. I like that analogy. That's a good analogy. He says, Suzuki's hurt. MSL plays him 22 minutes in a 7-0 loss. Hudson's playing like a chicken with its tail on fire, running around not doing much. They lost Lina. They lost Newhook. They lost Doc. They lost Gooley. I'm feeling so uplifted here, Habanations. He continues, didn't replace Devo with someone of equal skill. Didn't replace Armia at all. If Suzuki gets hurt more, perhaps miss time, we're screwed. All of that could have been avoided if, let's say, they traded for a Trevor Zegras. Anywho, this season's in the toilet. Gavin McKenna, a guy like that would replace Suzuki as 1C, perhaps eventually as the captain.
Boy, I see that online a lot on social media that just dive into the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes. Mm-hmm.
He finishes by saying, if there was a good time to be bad, now would be the time. In my honest opinion, go Habs, go.
Great comments.
Very great comment. Habanations is usually not pessimistic, but I think they have officially had enough. But we've said it a couple of times. This is going to be a measuring stick this week, and it's not going to be a fun one. Saturday night, Toronto Maple Leafs are in town for good old Original Six matchup against the Montreal Canadiens. We know that Jakub Dobish is getting the start. It's Joseph Woll in net for the Maple Leafs, so see how that goes. Then with U.S. Thanksgiving, Black Friday weekend, things get a little wonky with the schedule. The Habs don't play again until Wednesday. They travel on Wednesday night, which is Thanksgiving Eve, which, yes, in the U.S., Thanksgiving Eve is like a thing. It's a going out kind of thing, a very social kind of thing. So Montreal will be playing in Utah on Wednesday night, 9:30 Eastern time start. Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving Day for those in the U.S. And then on Friday, Black Friday, Montreal will travel to Las Vegas for a 4:00 Eastern matinee game, sort of matinee, kind of early evening, 4:00 Eastern game. It'll be 2:00 in Las Vegas. And I know we'll get to it next week, but the very next day, it's a back-to-back. They have a 4:00 Eastern start in Vegas on Friday. On Saturday, they're in Colorado for a 3:00 Eastern start on Saturday afternoon. So
next Saturday, watch that the Canadians Connection podcast will probably be out a little bit earlier so that you can watch that or you can listen to that podcast before the Colorado game.
So the Canadians have some tough opponents this week. They're on the road this week. The travel schedule is not the easiest this week. Their routines are going to be all messed up, not only because of time differences, but also at like time zone differences, but also playing at odd times on each day. So this is going to be a challenging week for the Canadians, and it's going to be a big test of their resilience to see if they can focus and put it all together. So all of that being said, as Rick said, our next podcast will be next Saturday, November 29th. Look for it to be out a little earlier than usual so that you can have just enough time to sit down for the afternoon Montreal game. It's going to be a Rocket Sports mailbag podcast edition next week. And that means we are answering your questions things that you want to know or you want our takes or opinions on about the Montreal Canadiens or their prospects. So get your questions in.
And you can ask us questions. You can ask Chris G a question about the Laval Rocket or Trois Rivières. You can ask Mike about junior hockey. You can ask Dr. Stephen Morris, our medical consultant, rash of injuries with the Canadiens. Ask him a question as well.
Yep. So send in your questions at the same time you're sending in your answers to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Enjoy your week. If you are a fellow American like me, south of the border, happy Thanksgiving to you this week. Hope you eat lots and enjoy some time with your family and friends.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all of our friends south of the border.
And enjoy the NFL games on Thanksgiving and on Black Friday as well, because that is tradition. Mm-hmm. So enjoy it all. Good luck to you in our two face-offs in fantasy football this week.
Too.
We'll see how it goes. And we'll see you all back here again next week for another great edition of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.